Joining us right now, and nice enough to come on this early. I know it's 9:30 out there right now, but still, it's a good guy for coming on this early. He's got a big job this weekend. The radio voice of the Carolina Panthers. It is Mick Mixon. Mick, I'm Dave. That's Katie. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Is my friend Ted Robinson still the voice of the Niners?
Yes, sir. Yes, he is.
All right. You tell Ted we're coming for him.
Well,
we're going to out-tidbit, out-nugget him, out-quip him.
Out-spotter him.
In our individual battle. That's right.
Well, here, I will happily do that for you. I would ask only in return a couple of things. Number one, let's tone down the temperature on Sunday. We're seeing it's going to be around low 90s. It's a little hot for us. And then also, if you could, I don't know, Carolina lost the Super Bowl to the Broncos. They barely lost the season opener to the Broncos. I feel like they're going to be angry, and as a Niner guy, that's a little bit scary.
Okay, I'll do that deal so long as y'all don't show up wearing John Elway and Peyton Manning like it's Halloween. My golly, isn't it crazy? I mean, it's really, you guys are, 2,700 miles from here, but it almost feels as though we're kind of neighbors because of how closely we follow the comings and goings with the 49ers, and not just with Colin Kaepernick, but, of course, Chip Kelly, Sean Drone, who played college football at North Carolina. Our coaches are huge fans of Carlos Hyde. I mean, I'm talking to you now from our stadium on the second floor down the hall. For me, is where the football side is. And there's perspiring. There's hyperhidrosis going on in there when they look at how to stop this one-back running attack of Chip Kelly.
Well, and I think that's the interesting thing about the 49ers. They have some great weapons, but I think the quarterback issue is something that's going to continue to trouble the 49ers all season. You know, you've got Carlos Hyde, but how do you look at Blaine Gabbert and what he's able to do? There was a lot of open targets downfield, but he didn't really go for that option much.
Oh, I know, Katie. I'm with you. And that's just, you just can't have that. I mean, the 28-0 win should easily have been 35-0 or maybe 42-0. So that has to be cleaned up.
Mm-hmm. Now,
I'm not trying to be argumentative.
No.
But when you've been where the places where the Panthers have been, two straight losses, like Dave said, to Denver. But I think it looks to my untrained eye, and I want y'all coach me up on this. Nothing against Colin Kaepernick and his athleticism. He had a great – I mean, he's obviously got a lot of skill. But it looks like Blaine Gabbert might even be – if you looked at cone drill, shuttle, 40-time vertical jump. I mean, I think Gabbert looks twitchier and more dangerous on the edges to me than the other guy does.
Well, as far as running ability, I'd still give the edge to Kaepernick. But where I think Gabbert gets a little bit of advantage is the surprise. And I don't know how long that's going to last because scouts are really, really good.
Same thing with Cap.
I don't think they expect Blaine Gabbert to have the mobility he's had. The problem, Mick, is that he's got that mobility. That's great. But that's now become, I think, his first check down because he's not able to throw the ball accurately 20-plus yards.
Really? Well,
yeah.
I guess that's
yeah.
How's his throwing motion? Is he a winder upper at all?
No, he's got a quick release, and he actually really has you know what? It's a little bit of what I saw with Trevor Siemian with the Broncos, and I have the same worries I do with him. The ball looks pretty coming out of his hands. The motion looks pretty. The release is good. You just wonder how that deep ball is going to be with these guys. It's the same thing with Gabbert.
Our team president, Danny Morrison, sat next to me on the buses coming out of Denver last Thursday night, and he looked at me, and he's looking over the stats, and, you know, everybody's hand-wringing and kind of sad with how the game went. And he says, Mick, we never threw deep. And I said, Danny, even the fastest man in the world needs 4 seconds to run 40 yards, and we couldn't hold up. We couldn't protect. I mean, that pass rush is something else. And I think San Francisco – Navarro, but to me it looks like that defense is starting to get some of the lead back in its pencil like some of the really good Niner defenses of a few years ago. How do you guys read it?
Their defense is by far their strongest point, and they're very good. They're getting better, staying healthy. But I think one of the biggest questions has been whether or not the offense can give them sufficient rest to be on the sidelines a little bit longer. In Chip Kelly's system, we all know that they want to go fast. It's a much faster up-tempo offense. And if they're not executing in it, then they're forcing their defense. So, you know, in the good sense right now, it's early in the season. I think the major concern is what is it going to be like in week 10 if this is a trend that continues throughout the season?
So the offense, that offense needs rhythm and timing. You need to make first down, stay on the field, get into your fitness. So a three and out, a Chip Kelly three and out, is you're really out. I mean, you're out quickly. Yep. That's kind of what you're saying.
Yeah. From your guys' perspective, I'm curious, though, because there was so much news that came out of your guys' week one game against the Broncos with the helmet-to-helmet hits on Cam Newton. Yeah. And we've covered that to a certain extent here, but I want your perspective from inside. How has that been there for the Panthers, specifically for Cam, as you're getting ready for this game this week?
Cam's been pure class, Katie. His comments have been almost as if a public relations firm got together, a think tank, and said what would be the best possible way, the classiest possible way to handle this, and he's done that beautifully. The sentiment in our building is not one of, oh, the officials, they took the game away from us, they don't care about Cam, any of that. It's just there was a sadness involved, a concern really, mm-hmm. on the team plane coming home for this warrior king that had just been, I mean, he was whipped, he was just exhausted, so many very physical shots, and it is frustrating that more of them were not called. Somebody said there was a stat that Cam Newton last year was the only, and I wouldn't bet my house or my truck on this, but I heard it said that he was the only QB in pro football last year, starting quarterback, that did not have a roughing the passer call against him. I think that it's human nature. The officials are human. We're all human. So Superman looks different when he's sacked than Jimmy Olsen looks.
Yeah.
But a foul is still a foul, the hit doesn't engender the same empathy. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. No. And to me, I read a quote that Cam said, "Hey, it's not my job to worry about protecting myself." And the curious thing for me is, and obviously the NFL announces that another kind of investment into, you know, concussions and the health of these players, it's like $100 million, but there's no clarity on what it is. But I have to disagree with Cam. It kind of is his job to protect himself, because it doesn't appear as if the NFL is taking the right steps to protect their players.
Well, that's the typical that's a great response, but there's no room in pro football for that kind of logic, analysis, and rational thought. Because the currency that the players trade in is toughness, resiliency, sell out for the next guy. It's an Army Ranger, Navy SEAL, Green Beret, Delta Force kind of a mentality. So, Cam, you know, I understand kind of both parts. I'm 57 years old. If I was 27 years old, I might not understand what you said, but I think with the visual acuity that hopefully men get once we age a little bit, I think you're right on it. I mean, he can't play scared. He can't play trying to protect himself.
Right.
He has to play trying to deliver the ball downfield and win the game.
Mick Mixon joins us, voice of the Carolina Panthers. They take on the 49ers out there in Carolina, 10 a.m. start this Sunday. And from my end, Mick, and I'm not trying to jinx you guys, but this is going to be a slaughter. There's no ifs, ands, or buts, and the moral victory is going to be keeping it under two touchdowns for the Niners. One of those reasons is just too many weapons for you guys on offense. Greg Olsen always looks amazing. Cam Newton, Superman, as you said. But to me, the kid out of Florida State who was hurt last year, Kelvin Benjamin, he returned. People were wondering how he'd look. He looked just fine. And I got the feeling, Mick, that we saw about 80% of Benjamin last week, and that's only the tip of the iceberg with him now that his confidence is back.
Is this on? I think we have a static in the line. I could have sworn I heard you say you thought that the Panthers were going to slaughter the 49ers.
Yes.
That can't be right.
Yes. This is going to be an absolute annihilation. You got a ticked off Carolina team who's played two straight games against Denver. The 49ers, that was a mirage, not defensively, but against the Rams. They're barely an NFL team, and now they're going to your home opener where the fans get to welcome back this team that almost won the Super Bowl. Yeah, Mick, I'm not trying to jinx it, but I think this is going to be an absolute shattering.
I think that's a naive view of this game.
I hope you're right.
The Panthers, first of all, every team in the NFL has got 6 or 8, 10 guys that could start for any other team. Secondly, this 49er defense stoned the Rams, shut them down. Thirdly, the Panthers we're not bulletproof. I mean, we haven't arrived. This is no juggernaut. It's a good football team. But the Panthers have their own issues to deal with, how to get sort of lathered back up again and shake off the lingering hangover that the loss in Super Bowl 50, that the opening day loss to the Denver Broncos can bring. And then, you know, Gabriel, I'm just telling you, just looking at it, you're looking at all the intangibles. I'm looking at the tangibles, watching that offense work, watching Gabbert, watching Hyde, watching those receivers. It looks like it's going to be a closer game to me.
Well, and when you look at this game, I mean, the one kind of concern, I guess you would say, if you're on the Panthers side, is the 49ers defense looks really good. But from your perspective, because you get to see this Panthers team up close and you know them much more in depth than us, what are the keys for them to be able to attack that defense?
Good question, Katie. It's exactly why I disagree with Dave, is that the thing that the Niners look like they do really well is the exact thing that I would answer your question with, and that is fit the run. It's unusual to see an opposing offensive line, an opposing offense, block a back free into the second level or the third level of the Panther defense. But this zone rushing attack, the zone stretch cutback, handoff sweep, the wham, all those – Denver used their Gary Kubiak running game, and C.J. Anderson – I mean, he's running upright. He's just, boom, just breaks right past the D-line. And there were too many creases. Carolina got gashed in the run game in an uncharacteristic way. So I think that's the one thing where it could go the way Dave said, is that if the Panthers could clean that up. But if not, this is going to be a middle fourth quarter, anybody's game, kind of white-knuckle affair.
You know, and on top of that, too, where the big issue I see from the Niners' point of view is against the Rams, you had a quarterback that couldn't throw the ball into the ocean. And on top of that, and a lot of that was because of the defense, give them credit, but you also had the shorter, faster type of receivers. Now, Carolina, you've got Olsen, who will catch anything within 100 feet of him. You got Benjamin, who we just talked about, who's huge. And then you have the streak in the former Niner, Teddy Ginn Jr. Mick, if you're seeing a way that Niners secondary can somehow contain those guys, you're seeing something I'm not.
Well, let's see. I think if you were the governor or the mayor and I was the governor or the mayor, we could make a bet. You know, we could bet a honey-baked ham or some barbecue or some oysters or something. But we're just going to have to disagree on this. I hope you're right. I mean, I hope you're right. Yeah, I know. Part of it is how your mind can play tricks on you when you get this deep into the week and you start peeling back a team and you see how's Chip Kelly's act playing out there, by the way?
Hey, he's undefeated. So his act is just fine. The problem with Chip in the past, at least in Philly, is he came out gangbusters with them and everyone was talking about he was going to redesign the offense and the NFL and this and that. He was the next West Coast offense type of dude. Here's the thing, though. I think he's learned a little bit. I think he's dialed it back a little bit. And I think at least last week, Mick, he got the most – I don't want to say the most out of the least, but I think he maximized the talent with his schemes, and so far so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the way it looks from out east. I think that with the right quarterback, the right trigger man, I think that offense can make yards. I mean, it's a lot of what the Panthers do. Pin that defense down with that zone read. You get – and Seattle does the same thing. San Fran, Carolina, Seattle, to me, are the three teams that do are doing it best right now. And you get used to that Marshawn Lynch, you get used to Carlos Hyde, Jonathan Stewart, you wad up to stop that, and the next thing you know, the quarterback can literally walk around the edge because there's nobody out there to defend him.
Other than this game, I'm curious because we've got our games that we have our eye on this week. Is there another matchup this Sunday that has you intrigued?
Not really that much, Katie. Although, well, who does Oakland have?
Oakland's got the Falcons.
Then that one.
Yeah.
Because Oakland, we play Oakland, and of course the Falcons are in our division. And the Raiders, I think, are kind of a sexy back of the envelope pick to be really good this year. At least that's maybe y'all are talking about this every minute of your show. But I'm fascinated with Oakland this year and how they're going to be with those pieces.
Mick, we appreciate your time. Before I let you go, you started off the interview by saying something I thought was very interesting. Even though we're cross country, we're kind of neighbors in many ways. And not to put you on the spot, which means I will, but one thing I think we're kind of neighborly about is we both are in regions that are crossing football lines. A lot of politics being involved on our end, Colin Kaepernick, and over there you've got some events that have been leaving that state. I don't want to ask you necessarily about the politics, but like you said, outside looking in, is this as huge of a story there, losing a lot of these events, as it is to us, or are people kind of going about their business?
Oh, no, it's big. It's big news. Athletics has that ability, and I'm no sociologist, far from it. I'm just a sports announcer. It's all I ever wanted to be ever since I was a little kid. But athletics has that ability to get people's attention. It has the ability to bring people together. At Bank of America Stadium, we got homeless people and CEOs. We got Republicans and Democrats, believers and non, rich and poor, Jew and Gentile. We got freshmen and seniors, everybody hugging, getting along great. But athletics also has the ability to kind of say, all right, what are we doing and why are we doing it? Are we trying to fix something that was never broken? And that's the way it feels in North Carolina right now.
Mick, it's a heck of a time talking to you. Really, really appreciate the conversation. Good luck this weekend. And, yeah, maybe you and I can't bet on it, but we'll do a handshake bet or something this weekend, hoping each other is right about the outcome of this game.
That sounds great. And you guys are big. I hear from your questions and the feel of your show why you guys are in a big market. And I'm sure your show is very popular. And thanks for letting me be a small part of it.
You're awesome. Thank you so much. Mick Mixon.